We are up to Torah Kuf Aleph. The chapters on Likut Imran that we're up to now are generally short, and the area that we're in the middle of right now is dealing with the topic of Hespoidedus, which is this subject of Hespoidedus is in many ways the most important thing that Rabbeinu Zal taught. This is the dogish, this is the makeh bepatish of all of the Breslov ideology, as we'll see within this chapter in Likut Imran. Rav Nosson Zal begins by saying, Omar, Rabbeinu Zal said, Shal yidei amiras tikkun chatzos, that through a yid saying the tefillah of tikkun chatzos, which is a special set of tefillos that are said pertaining to the churban beis hamikdash, yecholim lafarish sichosoi es kol asherim levovoi kemoi al yidei hespoidedus. Rabbeinu Zal said that during the saying of Tikkun Chatzos, a Jew can express himself to Hashem exactly the same as one would during his own Hespoidedus. Meaning, the word Hespoidedus, as used in Rabbeinu Zal's forum, refers specifically to a person speaking to Hashem in their own language, discussing their own personal ups and downs, their own personal problems, in elaborate detail with Hashem. The tefillah of Tikkun Chatzos, as people normally assume it to be, is referring to speaking with Hashem about a problem that pertains to all of Klal Yisrael. The problem is something that occurred 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and Bnei Yisrael were evicted from Eretz Yisrael. And since that time, the fact that the Beis HaMikdash has not yet been rebuilt implies that we are in a golus, we're in an exile, and we're crying to Hashem to be returned from this exile back to our homeland, back to Eretz Yisrael, not the Eretz Yisrael of today, but the Eretz Yisrael in a complete state of tikkun, when everything will be 100% the way it's supposed to be. Rabbeinu Zal says in this chapter of Likut Imran that while saying Tikkun Chatzos, a person can be speaking to Hashem the same way that they are during his Hespoidedus. Meaning, Rabbeinu Zal explains, Ki mestomo ein oimrim chatzos al hovar, because probably a Jew is not saying Tikkun Chatzos thinking that he's discussing something that happened 1,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago. Because which nut cries over a problem that happened 1,000 years ago? A person, you have a child that does something bad, the child gets smacked. You ever see a child 3 weeks later after he gets smacked suddenly start crying? You ask him, what are you crying for? I'm crying because I got hit 3 weeks ago. So what are you crying for now? What's the problem? Normally, we say when a person is crying or if a person is really expressing grief, it's not over an item in the past. It's regarding an item in the present, otherwise you wouldn't really be feeling a major grief. The Ikar Amiras Chatzos hu al ma shenase achshov im hodom. And therefore Rabbeinu Zal says, the main reason for saying Tikkun Chatzos is regarding what's happening to the person now. It's the golus that I feel I'm in now. I'm not discussing a problem that happened 2,000 years ago. I'm discussing the problem that I find myself being faced with and dealing with right now. And when a person will say the tefillah of Tikkun Chatzos with this type of attitude, with this type of feeling, the person will be able to find, in the tefillah of Tikkun Chatzos, he'll be able to find everything that's inside of his heart. All of the person's own problems and feelings and things that a person would want to express to Hashem could all be found within those paragraphs of Tikkun Chatzos. Why? Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain soon. The majority of the Tikkun Chatzos is made up of chapters of Tehillim. Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain now that Tehillim is something that was written with Ruach HaKodesh. Rabbeinu Zal explains, V'chein and also, Amiras Tehillim, the saying of Tehillim in general, not just limited to the parts that are in Tikkun Chatzos, but saying Tehillim Bechlal, Ukiyotze, and other items that are similar to that, Tzorich Lirois Sheim Tzes Atzmai B'Soich Kol Mizmoiri Tehillim. A person has to see to it to find themselves in the paragraphs of Tehillim that they're saying. Tehillim was written by Dovid HaMelech and several other tzaddikim discussing problems, discussing different concerns, different problems, different pains, different desires. A person, when saying those chapters, has to say it not with the kavona that I'm repeating something that somebody else said regarding their problems, but I'm discussing something, I'm reciting tefillos that are part of the Torah, and in these tefillos can be found the problems of any Jew from the beginning of creation till the end of time. They can be found within these tefillos. U'b'seich kol hatchinois u'bakoshois u'slichois u'kiyotzei. And so too, within all sforim that have tchinois in them, different prayers to Hashem, and slichos, the slichos that we say for Tainus Esther, or Rosh Hashanah time, whenever it is, within all of these tfilos, a Jew must be able to find himself. A Jew must be able to say those tfilos regarding 1988, today. Upikal bepshitas beli chachmois, yecholen limtzois atzmoi besoich kol hatchinois u'bakoshois. And Rabbi Nizal says, it's very easy and simple, and it doesn't take a big genius to be able to do this, to be able to find yourself within these tchinois and bakoshois, ubifrat b'tehillim, especially within the Sefer Tehillim, shenemar b'shvil klal Yisrael, which was said not by individuals pertaining to their own needs, but it was said on behalf of klal Yisrael. Dovid HaMelech and the other tzaddikim who were miyasei the Sefer Tehillim, they weren't discussing themselves, they were representing the entire klal Yisrael with all of their problems and needs. All of that is contained within the Sefer Tehillim. B'shvil kol echod v'yechod b'frat, not just on a general level, not just on the surface, but every single individual Jew's personal needs and problems are defined within the Sefer Tehillim, are included within the Sefer Tehillim. Kol hamilchomois hayetzer sheyesh olov, the entire battle against the Yetzer Hara, which each individual Jew is waging on a personal level, v'chol ma shenaseh imoy, and everything that's happening to a person, whether it be pertaining to parnoso, whether it be pertaining to raising children, whether it be pertaining to health, whether it be pertaining to finding a place to live, all of those needs, hakol mevuar u'mefurosh b'tehillim, all of it is explained and elaborated on in the Sefer Tehillim. Ki ikroi nemar al milchemois hayetzahora v'chayeloisa. Because the main reason for the Sefer Tehillim is, it was said regarding the war against the Yetzahora and all of his associates, all the armies that are at the command of the Yetzahora to use against a Jew. Shehem ikur ho'ivim v'hasoinim shelodom. They are the main enemies of a person. Sheroitzim lamoinoi biderech hachayim. They're the ones who are looking to serve as obstacles to prevent a person from being zeicha to walk on the path of life. Ulohiridoi l'shoel tachtis chasvashon. And they're the ones who want to cause a person to fall into the shoel tachtis, into the lowest depths of Gehenim. If the person won't watch out, if the person won't protect himself against them, and it's only pertaining to that that the whole Sefer Tehillim was established. Meaning, in the Sefer Tehillim, you see paragraphs that seem to talk, where David HaMelech is talking about his enemies and this and that. And a person who doesn't know what Rabbi Nizal is saying here, it seems that he's discussing his own physical enemies that he encountered at that time. Doyga adoimi, this one, the Polishtim, that. Rabbi Nizal says it's not true. If you'll look on the Rashi, in the Rashis, in Tehillim, and if you look at the Gemara and the Midrashim that discuss the Sefer Tehillim, you're going to see that that's just on the surface. That all of those discussions are actually dealing, what Dovid HaMelech is really crying out to Hashem about, is pertaining to his Milchemes HaYetzer. And he's serving as a representative, as a symbol for each and every single Jew. He was the one who knew the subject of Tefillah so thoroughly that he could design this Sefer Tehillim with such Ruach HaKodesh that it could adapt itself to the needs of each and every single Jew from the beginning of time till the end of time. Ki ikar klal v'shoyrish v'yisoid shel kol ho'etzois l'skarev l'Hashem Yisborach, because Rabbi Nizal says, the main and most important and foundation of all possible advice regarding coming close to Hashem, hu rak amiras tehillim, v'sharei tchinois ubakoshois v'hispoidus lefarish sichoi benoi levein koinoi. Rabbi Nizal says the one and only most important, most effective means of coming close to Hashem is through tefillah. And tefillah in the forms of tchinois, in the forms of bakoshois, in forms of a person expressing themselves in their own language. If our main language is English, it's a matter of a person speaking to Hashem in English on a regular basis, discussing in full detail their own problems, their own needs. Levakeish milfonov shikarveu l'avodosu yisporach, to request of Hashem and to beg Hashem to bring us close to Him. V'rak al yedei zeh zoichin lenatzeach hamilchomo. And it's only through this method of tefillah that a Jew can be zeche to succeed in this battle, in this war against the Yetzer Hara. When? Im yihye chozok v'amitz ma'oid tomid. If the person will be very solid and strong. Note, ma'oid, very much so. Tomid, consistently. This isn't the kind of thing you do it today, and then you forget for a day, and you do it the next day, and you forget for a week, and you go back and do it for 2-3 days straight. There's an inyan of tmidus here, and there's an inyan of chozok. This has to be powerful, solid, consistent. Lahatir ulehispalel ulehschanein lefnei Hashem yisborach tomid. To daven to Hashem and to beg Hashem constantly. No matter what, no matter what the person is going through, whether the person is in a very happy mood, very sad, very successful, very broken, very down, very angry, very ecstatic, in all moods, no matter what, to be consistent, that this thing is kavua, this thing is chayk v'layavar, I can't let the kesher between me and Hashem fall apart. And the kesher is through dibur, through speech. Just like two friends, the main connection between them is when they speak, even though they could each be maintaining a love inside their hearts and everything, the ikar hiskashrus between chaverim, between parents and children, between anybody. When you talk about a relationship between two, the main thing is through dibur. So too, kaviyochel with Hashem. The ikar kesher to Hashem is through dibur, specifically diburim of tefillah. And Rabbi Nizal is emphasizing that if you want to take this seriously, then it means it's got to be very strong and it's got to be very, very consistent. Oz bevada yenatzeach hamelchomo. And then the person will definitely succeed against the Yetzer Hara. He'll definitely win this battle. Ashrei loy. And fortunate is such a person. Kach hevinano midivrei Rabbi Nizal. Rabbi Nizal writes, this is what we understood from Rabbi Nizal's words, that this is what he wanted to bring across very solid and clear. And now he explains in a beautiful, beautiful way. Ki af al pi shenim tzoim kamo etzois toivois b'sifrei Rabbi Nizal. Because even though, if you'll study Rabbi Nizal's Sforim, the Likutei Moran, the Sefer Hamidois, the Sipurei Maisius, all of these Sforim, you're going to find many different types of advice and many different pieces of advice regarding coming close to Hashem. Afal piken, but still, al piroiv kosher lahodom lakayim hoetza biatzma. Generally, even the advice that Rabbi Nizal gives is very difficult to follow. The advice itself is not necessarily things that are easy. The etzos themselves are difficult. Al kain, therefore, ho'ikor, the main thing, hu tfilois, utchinois, ubakoshois. The main thing is tfila. The main thing is constantly begging Hashem, asking Hashem, being in touch with Hashem. No matter what the person is going through, no matter how far the person feels from Hashem, or no matter how close the person feels to Hashem, al kol ponim yedaber b'fiv be'ezeh b'china shehu. No matter what, the person should speak to Hashem with their mouth. No matter what, regardless of what it is, whether it's in a happy frame of mind, in a sad frame of mind, v'yevakesh mi'Hashem yisborach tomid, and the person should always be begging of Hashem, sheyotzi oisoi michoshech la'or, that Hashem should take me out of darkness and bring me into light, v'yachzireyu b'shuvo shleimo be'emes, and Hashem should help us be zeche to real, true, complete tshuva. And the person should not give Hashem a moment's rest. The person shouldn't be quiet for a minute until Hashem responds. Don't let up, don't stop, don't hesitate until Hashem answers you. And even if the person is screaming to Hashem and speaking to Hashem for a very, very long time, va'adayin hu rochoik ma'oid ma'oid, and the person is still very, very far from Hashem, afal pikein, still, im yiye chozok v'amitz b'tfiloi subakoshes, if the person will really be serious and strong in this item of tefillah, to go at it with full power and constantly, bevadai soif kol soif ya'aneu Hashem yisborach. It's definitely 100% fact that in the end Hashem will answer the person, v'yekarvoi l'avoidosoi b'emes, and Hashem will bring the person close to Him, close to avoidos Hashem b'emes, bevadai b'li sofek. This is 100% fact, beyond any shadow of a doubt. Ukamay Sham Razal, as the Gemara says in Brochos, I'm sorry, Rak Chazak ve'ematz. But, Rav Nosson Zal warns, you have to be very strong. You have to know that this isn't going to be easy, and because this is so important, and because this is so critical, and because this thing can't miss, because this is something that can't possibly fail, you have to know that the Satan is not going to take this laying down. And he's going to try to do everything possible that he can to prevent a person from having his Boidus, to prevent a person from saying Tehillim, from saying Tchinois, and to prevent a person from being consistent in this, from being solid 100% year masha year. Ukemoisham Razal, as the Gemara says, Shetfilo Tzorich Chizuk. The Gemara says in Brochus that there are a few items in religion which require chizuk, where you have to know that these things need special strengthening. They need special extra effort on the part of the person because it's unnatural and because the obstacles are more difficult than pertaining to other items in religion. As the Gemara bases this on a posuk, Kaveil Hashem, Daven Hashem, Chazak v'ameitz libecho v'kaveil Hashem. Strengthen yourself and firm up your heart, your resolve, and daven Hashem. Upirish Rashi, and Rashi Kodesh says on that statement in the Gemara, on that pasuk, ve'im loy teskabel tfiloscho, and if you feel that your tefila has not been accepted, chazor v'kavei. Go back and daven again. There's no such thing as stopping here. There's no such thing as giving up. You don't stop in the middle. This is guaranteed 100% if you follow it through to the end. If you do it as much as you're supposed to do. V'chein li'olam, and this holds true forever, Ad Yashkiv Veyera Hashem Yishamayim. Until Hashem will look down upon the person from heaven, and Hashem will see fit to bring the person close to Him. Ukvar Mavur Azois Bidvorenu Kam Upomim. And this has already been explained in our writings many, many times. Ach tzrichen lichfoil uleshanoi zois velizkor zois b'chol yoim v'yoim. But Rav Nosson Zal says, this item we have to repeat and review many, many times. And a person has to remember this very, very well every single day. Ki yesh kamo v'kamo minei chalishus u'bilbulim al zeh b'li shir. Ma she'en ha'peyochu l'daber v'alev lachshev. Because Rav Nosson Zal tells you, you can't imagine how many bilbulim, how many chalishus there are, how many different ways the sultan is going to try to weaken the person and to break the person regarding this item, regarding this consistency in tefillah. Mashena peyochu l'daber v'alev lachshev. Rav Nosson Zal says there's, you can't imagine how many different ways, all the assorted different tricks and obstacles that are going to come up to prevent you from being matzliach in this item, to prevent you from following through in this item. Al kein, therefore, tzrichen lachzor zois alofim pomim. A person has to review this thousands of times. You have to learn this and review and repeat and say it again and again, so it should really, really go inside of you. Kidei sheyischazek v'yisametz, so that the person should strengthen himself and really make himself very solid. Lamoid al umdoi, to be firm. Lehispalel uz leshanel lefnei Hashem isporach tomid, to daven and to beg Hashem always, constantly. Sheikarveu lavoidosoi, that Hashem should bring the person close to serving Him. Yihye ech sheyeh, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, no matter how religious you feel, or how irreligious you feel, how up you are, how down you are, how in you are, how out you are, baloney, none of that matters. It has nothing, whether it's raining, snowing, hot, cold, there's nothing that comes into play here. This is something that must be consistent, constant, firm, where a person knows he's got to get to a certain point, and he's not going to let anything possible in the world alter his course, alter his destination, where he or she wants to get to. Niso levovenu el kapayim el keil v'shamayim. Rav Nosson Zal quotes the pasuk in Tehillim that we lift up our hearts into our hands, we place our hearts into our hands to Hashem. Why? Ki loy yitoish Hashem es amoy v'nachalosoy lo yazoy. Because the Torah testifies that Hashem will not forsake the Jews. That's not an option. In the multiple choice, in the possibilities of how Hashem can react to a Jew's tefillah, this is not an option. There does not exist an option of tefillah not helping, of Hashem forgetting a Jew, chas v'shalom, of Hashem dropping the ball on a Jew. Chas de Hashem ki loy somnu, ki loy cholo rachmov. As the pasuk says in Eicha, that the kindness of Hashem is infinite. It never ceases, it never comes to an end, and Hashem's rachmonis again is infinite. Baruch Hashem. And this item, this chapter again, is one of the yesoidos in Rabbeinu Zal's ideology, which means in Jewish orthodoxy. This isn't something that's reserved specifically for Breslov. There isn't an orthodox Jew who can be wearing tzitzis or tefillin and eat kosher and deny that the words that are written here are fact. Emes lamitoi, according to the Chumash, according to the Gemara, according to the Shulchan Aruch. There isn't a Jew around who could deny that any tzaddik that's mentioned in the Chumash, in the Novi, in the Gemara, they all went this route. They all spoke to Hashem, they all davened very hard, a lot. The Torah tells about Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu going out into the fields to daven to Hashem, Yaakov Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu davening to Hashem 515 tefillahs to get to Eretz Yisrael. You can be sure each one of those tefillahs wasn't a 30-second tefillah. It wasn't a 30-hour tefillah. It could have been hundreds of hours, each tefillah. The Gemara says that when the Yidden worshipped the Egel Azov, the Pasuk says, Vayechal Moshe es pnei Hashem alikov. Moshe, Vayechal. What does Vayechal mean? Vayit palel, he davened, right?
So the Medrash says, why? What's Vayichal? Why doesn't it say Vayispalil? So the Medrash learns out a whole bunch of different things why that word is used. One reason is the Gemara says he davened until he became sick from davening. Anybody here ever try that? Anybody here ever try davening with such mesiras nefesh, with such power for so many hours until you actually become sick, until a person's physically totally, totally drained, where there's no energy left at all whatsoever? The Gemara says another pirush is Vayechal ad she'ochzei chalchola. He was crying so much in tefillah until his whole body was shaking. You see, sometimes a baby, a small child, cries and gets hysterical over something until they're shaking from it. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu davened Hashem. And if he wasn't too big for that, and if he felt that he was desperate enough to be davening so hard, what should we say? We who don't come to the dirt under the toenail of Moshe Rabbeinu, how much more desperately we should feel the need for this type of tefillah. Tefillah that's got to be very powerful in quality, in quantity, and it has to be very consistent, and it has to be with his chaskus, and yemashia. A person doesn't have an excuse to say, well, today I'm not feeling that religious, or today I'm feeling super religious. It does lo ba b'cheshbon. It doesn't come into the picture. This is something that's every day. You're breathing, you're davening. You're breathing, you're having a spiritus. Rabbi Nizal begins a chapter on the Likutei Moran, ki ikar hachiyus himen atfila, that the main source of life, spiritual life for a Jew, comes from tefillah. Kemoi shekosuv, as the Pasuk says, tefillah lokel chayoi. My life is tefillah tashem. When I'm davening, I'm alive. When I'm not davening, I'm dead. A person knows if they haven't spent time during a day speaking to Hashem, davening like they're supposed to daven, it means the person isn't really alive for that day. Rachmona Litzlan. Halavai, we should be zecha to take this seriously, real seriously, because Rav Nosson Zal says on the Likutei Halachos many times that the Geula, when the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim during the month of Nisan, it was a Geula of Torah. The purpose of going out of Mitzrayim was to receive the Torah on Har Sinai. It's called a redemption of Torah. Rav Nosson Zal writes in Likutei Halachos that the Geula of Moshiach is going to be a Geula of Tefillah. That was Torah, this is Tefillah. Moshiach ben David, what is David? David is the symbol of Tefillah. David is called the Ne'im Zemiras Yisrael. David is the Sefer Tehillim. David is the one who said, Va'ani Tefillah, I am Tefillah. That's what Moshiach is all about. That's what the third Beis HaMikdash is all about. It's about Shleimus and Tefillah. And it's up to each and every single Jew, Rabbeinu Zal said each and every single Jew has to see to it that mitzidoi or mitzido, there should not be an ikuv of Moshiach. I am responsible to see to it that I should not be holding up, preventing Moshiach from coming. What could I possibly do to hold up Moshiach from coming? I could be holding back in tefillah. I could be keeping inside of me tefillahs that could and should be coming out. Because Rabbeinu Zal says in another Torah that the Iker Klei Zayin of Moshiach is going to be tefillah. When we talk about Moshiach conquering the world, what's he going to be using? Phantom jets? Machine guns? These toys that these kids are using outside? He's going to be using real cannons. He's going to be using tefillah. Just like Yaakov Avinu said, Asher lo kachti miyad ho'emoiri becharbi ubekashti, I conquered. What did I conquer with? With my sword and with my spear. And the Gemara Darshan's cherev zu tefillah, and bekashti is bakoshosi, that Yaakov Avinu's conquests were with tefillah. So too, especially Moshiach, his conquering is going to be through tefillah. As the Pasuk says, Moshiach is called Ruach Apeinu, Moshiach Hashem. Moshiach is symbolized by the nose, Ruach Apeinu, And we know the Gemara says that whereas Shlomo HaMelech was able to look at people and see who's telling the truth, the power of Moshiach is going to be, he's going to be able to smell the truth. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, he's going to be Moirach Vadoin. He's going to be able to smell the truth. V'horeichoi b'yiras Hashem, that the Pasuk says about Moshiach. And Rabbeinu Zal says, why the nose? Comparing him to the nose. Because the nose is the union of tefillah. There's a Pasuk where the Pasuk says, U'tehilosi echtamloch. My tefillah, I send up to Hashem. This word echtam, the choytem, the nose, is the symbol of tefillah.
The language of Bevadai, Bli Safek, such surety of getting a response through tefillah, but we see Moshe Rabbeinu daven 515 times and he wasn't answered.
Good question. The question is, Rabbeinu Zal here in this Torah is using words like Vadai, Bli Safek, 100% positively, definitely. What about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu daven so many times and he wasn't answered? That's the wording of the question. The answer is that's very, very not true, that he wasn't answered. Because the Zohar HaKadosh says, Les re'usa tavo de is'avid. There's no such thing as a good thought on the part of a Jew that should go lost. Meaning, we know the Zohar HaKadosh teaches us that Hashem designed the world in such a way that in order for an item to happen, ma'asi, an action, it has to go through three phases. Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. The Zohar HaKadosh says this is hinted to in the word Adam. Adam, who is the Tachlis of the Bria. The word Adam, the Aleph, stands for Machshava. The Aleph stands for Adam, the Ikar Adam, which is Machshava. The Dalet stands for Dibur, and the Mem stands for Maisa. The Aleph, the Pasuk says, Va'a'alefcha chochma, I will teach you knowledge, wisdom. That's all the machshava. The Aleph is the machshava, the chochma, the moyach. The Dalet is dibur, and the mem is maisa. In order for anything to happen in this world, it must go through these three phases. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when a Jew has a good thought enter into his or her mind, a Jew thinks for a minute, I wish I could give more tzedakah, or I want to give tzedakah, I want to give, but nobody shows up to collect, or whatever. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Les re'uso tavo de'savid. There's no such thing as a good ratzon, a good desire, a good thought that goes lost, meaning that nothing comes of it. Certainly, al achas kama v'kama, there's no such thing as a tefillah going lost. When anybody, when any Jew davens for something and it seems as if that tefillah is going unanswered, it could either imply that that tefillah is being saved up together with other tefillahs to complete a certain number, a certain amount, before the person can get to the conclusion. Or Rabbeinu Zal has a chapter on Likut Imran where Rabbeinu Zal explains in clear detail that there are times that tefillos are rerouted, where a Jew is davening for something that has a certain value by Hashem. Let's say on a scale of 1 to 1,000, this item rates a 30, a 50. There are times that kaviyochel Hashem knows that there is a need in Shamayim, there is a need in heaven for tefillos for a certain item. This item is on the level of a 600. And there are times that Hashem will reroute the tefillos of Jews that are geared towards a specific item, and Hashem will redirect them towards something else. Does that mean that they will have zero effect on the item that the person was davening for? No. Rav Nosson Zal says, Beferish in Likutei Halachos, it means that it might take a little longer for the person to get what they're asking for. It might delay it or slow it down. But certainly some part of it is used for what the person is asking for. At times, Kavyochol Hashem himself perceives a more significant need, a more important need, and Hashem directs it there. So as far as a tefillah going unanswered, unused, note that's atheism. That doesn't exist within Judaism. There couldn't be such a metzius of a tefillah that's going nowhere. It definitely goes and it definitely affects. Moshe Rabbeinu's tefilos, Moshe Rabbeinu did get to Eretz Yisrael, not in his own physical form, but Moshe Rabbeinu in the form of a neshama. Our Rebbe Zichron Avraham once mentioned that the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel 515 tefilos to get to Eretz Yisrael. Vo'eschanan el Hashem bo'esi lemor. In that form, he didn't get there. But when he was nistalek, nistalek means to go up one. When Moshe Rabbeinu was nistalek, in the form of 516, in the form of Rabbi Nachman ben Fega, who is Bigimatria 516, Rabbeinu Zal, who carried within him a nitzutz of Moshe Rabbeinu, as do all true tzaddikim. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Moshe Iso b'chol dora v'dora. Moshe Rabbeinu is found in every single generation among the tzaddikim, among the true tzaddikim. In that form, Moshe Rabbeinu's 515 tefillos did come to very, very good use. And Moshe Rabbeinu was zoche to get Eretz Yisrael. And certainly there's no such thing as the tefillah of the tiniest Jew ever going lost. And if a person really, really takes that into their head well and seriously, a person will know how to invest, how much to invest in this. Any questions?
Two questions. First of all, it seems in the beginning of the chapter that Rabbeinu Zal is equating Hatzais and Tehillim with, despite of this thing, that just through, like, this way this person can express themselves so clearly, or, and it seems from many other sources that it's on a level totally by itself. That, you know, Tehillim is good and this is good, but despite this is where a person actually expresses his own words. That's like a different level.
The answer is there are two different ways to be saying Tehillim or to be saying Tikkun Chatzos. Rabbeinu Zal, this Torah is telling us that there is a way to be saying Tikkun Chatzos or to be saying Tehillim in a manner where you're coming across like your own Hespoidus. How? If at the time that you're saying these things and you're translating the words, let's say where Dovid HaMelech says, Hashem roi lo yachsor, Hashem is my shepherd, and I don't feel I'm lacking in anything. I'm not afraid that I'm ever going to be lacking in anything. A person could say this as if they're talking about some distant, far removed time or person or place. Or a person could be saying, I'm not saying over words that Dovid HaMelech said. I'm talking me. Dovid HaMelech designed this sefer for me personally. It's as if I saw in front my name written that this is presented by Dovid HaMelech to this and this person, my own name and address and phone number, personalized set of tefillos, customized for my personal needs. And if a person says it with that kavona, Rabbeinu Zal says this can take on a form very, 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 very similar and close to Hespoidus. This is not a substitute for Hespoidus. This is not that you should be doing this in place of speaking in your own language. For us, it's in English, in your own words, etc. Chas v'cholila. However, Rabbeinu Zal is saying, if you want your saying of Tehillim or Tikkun Chatzos to be much more effective and much more meaningful, say it in this manner. Because this is really the way it was designed to be used. When Dovid HaMelech and those other tzaddikim designed this sefer for use by Yidden, it was intended to be used this way.
And also, Rabbeinu Zal said that his sfarim are full of eight sides, but they're very hard to be Mekayim. So therefore, there's a spiritus, which is a general eitza. But you should know that there are tremendous minias to that. In other words, how does that help? In other words, it has the same minias.
Okay. The answer is not really. The question is that in this chapter, Rabbeinu Zal is saying that on Rav Nosson Zal writes that Rabbeinu Zal's sforim are filled with many, many different types of advice as far as coming close to Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal discusses Tikkun HaBris, Rabbeinu Zal discusses Tzedakah, Rabbeinu Zal discusses other things which are where the Eitzos themselves are very, very difficult. Rabbeinu Zal discusses crying during the saying of Kriya Shema. Rabbeinu Zal discusses hearing Negina, hearing singing from a menage in kosher v'hogon. He's discussing all kinds of things which these items themselves are very difficult. Whereas Rav Nosson Zal says, on one hand, Hespoidetus is the easiest thing possible for a Jew. There's no Jew that could possibly say, I can't, it's too difficult, I don't have enough money to do it, I don't have a place to do it. This is something that's the easiest thing for any Jew on any level possible to be able to do. That's on one hand. On the other hand, because this is so effective and because it's so easy, the Satan is going to figure out all kinds of mirages and all kinds of tricks and everything to make it seem impossible or difficult or unnecessary or etc., etc., etc. That's the point that he's trying to make here. The emes is that it is easy and it is available. All the efforts of the Satan are mirages. The mashal that the Baal Shem Tov gave about the 10 walls of water in which the Bas Melech was found, and when everybody that wanted to rescue her, they saw these 10 walls, these 10 layers of walls, and they said, impenetrable, there's no way to get through. And the Chacham came along, and he approached the first wall, and he started poking at it, and he saw it wasn't really a wall. It looked like a wall, but it was actually water. Water you can get right through. And then he approached the second wall, third wall, until he went through all 10 walls to get to where the Bas Melech was, the princess, and he rescued her. And that's the same thing with his Hespoidetus, with this Eitzah. Rabbi Nezal says that there are going to be Menias, but if you'll be serious about it, you'll see that you can cut through all of it, and that this is the easiest, most convenient, fastest, most effective way to come close to Hashem. Baruch Hashem.
I have one little question, not to belittle it, but the idea how Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, davened 515 times that he himself and his physical body would make it to Eretz Yisrael. And
says who?
No.
You spoke to him about it? And no. He said he was...
I see.
Physical body what? What's a physical body?
Okay.
Right now your body seems important to you. How important do you feel your body is going to be to you in 110 years? In a hundred years.
So, okay, then
silly. It's simply because we're in a moich in the katnas, because right now we're babies, we're all babies, human beings. We have our supper and our lunch and our heating on and that we get oriented to thinking about bodies and this and that. The body pertaining to serving Hashem in many ways it's a joke. Mm-hmm. It's insignificant. It's baloney.
Okay, so then whatever his tefillah was, wasn't accepted at that time. It wasn't received. So how do we like reinforce ourselves in our tefillah, where let's say we're praying for a job, we're praying for parnasa, praying for anything where, you know, we can see, you know, such a great tzaddik as Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have his. How do we find?
So I want to ask you a question. If I'm Hashem, and I say to you, listen, take it from me. The best thing in the world you could possibly do to come close to me or to succeed at anything you want to do is tefillah, davening. And even if it seems to you like you're not succeeding, it's baloney. Don't believe it. Don't fall for that trick. It's all baloney. Because every minute you invest in tefillah, that in itself is a success. Every minute, every second you spend in tefillah, that's the biggest success possible. You're davening for a job. The job is a joke compared to the value of a half hour of davening for a job. In terms of chashivus, in terms of significance in your future, proof is people daven, a person's in high school and he's davening to Hashem, Hashem, please let me pass this test. Then spin the clock 10 years later. Somebody show you a movie of that, you're not going to crack up, you're not going to laugh. Test what? Who cares, test? What difference did it make to me if I pass that test, fail that test? All baloney. And job. The job that I had 11 years ago, it made a difference if my boss was happy, if he gave me the raise, then didn't give me the raise. Looking at it now, it's baloney. Which would I put more of a value on? The time that I spent davening at that time, the fact that I showed my emunah in Hashem and my love for Hashem and respect for Hashem in acknowledging that everything comes only from Hashem and asking for Hashem for it, which is more important to me? The tefillahs that I said, or the job, or the parnosa, or anything that we're davening for? That's the point here. That's how important tefillah is. Rabbi Nazar said that a person has to be prepared for the possibility of davening for your whole life till 120 and not seeing any results from the tefillah. Let's say that were going to happen. Would you have a complaint? Would you have a problem? There's no problem and no complaint. Because there does exist a possibility of heaven hiding from you the results of your tefillos until you go next door. Until you go up to Shemayim, and there you get to see that the tefillos did help. That every word, every syllable, every letter of tefillah was effective. For now, take it from the ones that know. Take it from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Avram Avinu, from Yitzchak Avinu, from Odom Arishon, from Rabbi Akiva, from all of these tzaddikim, where this is what they went big on. This is how they came close to Hashem. This is what they really turned it on for, and this is what they put their faith in, their confidence, their hope, not in anything else. Look in the Chumash. Look in the Gemara. When they needed something, what did they do? The Gemara says one Tana, they got drunk on Purim, two friends. One took out a sword and slaughtered his friend. He killed him. What did he do? Call Magen David Adom, Hadassah, Shmadassah. What did he do? He was mispal to Hashem, came back to life. Person needed a zivug. What did he do? What did Eliezer do when he was sent on a mission? Go find a shidduch for Yitzchak Avinu. What did he do? What did Yaakov Avinu do when he went looking for his shidduch? What did the Tanoim do when they were sick? The Gemara writes, this is not the mystic, this is not Chassidus, this is Orthodox Judaism. You look in the Gemara, you look in the Chumash, you look in Rashi, you see that this is 99% of Judaism. It's tefillah. And Rabbi Nizal is the one who presented it really like unclothed. Clear as day, where there's no making a mistake about it. Rabbi Nizal was the one who said he was going to revive the Derech Yoshon. This is an old path. This isn't something new that Breslov invented, that Rabbi Nizal invented. This is something from Odom Arishon, from Yitzchok Yaakov, the others, everybody. This is what they did. But Rabbi Nizal said that the world has gone to sleep to a large degree in this item. And my main mission in the world is to revive this, to wake up the world, to bring those that are interested in listening to me, bring them to a realization of the chashivus of tefillah. How significant this is, how critical a place this has within Judaism, within Yiddishkeit.
Okay. According to this point, isn't that like an exceptional case by Moshe Rabbeinu? Whereas Hashem told us specifically that had he davened that extra tefillah, he would have done.
That's another point. That's another valid point, that if you look in the Chumash, it does say clearly that Hashem said, Rav loch, al toisev daber elai oid badover azeh. Stop! Don't ask me about this again. These were Hashem's words to Moshe Rabbeinu after he completed his 515th tefillah. And the Gemara says, why did Hashem say that? The Gemara says, because Hashem knew that if Moshe Rabbeinu would say one more tefillah, he would have to give it to him. He would have to give Eretz Yisrael, and it would have caused all kinds of problems for the eternity of Yiddishkeit. So we see beferish that there is this concept of a magic number, that there's a certain amount that you have to daven for something. And if you go the full length, there's no way in the world that you won't be matzliach. Would you call Moshe Rabbeinu a failure in any way? You say he failed in this project? Ridiculous. That's kfira. His 515 tefillos did a lot of good for himself, for Klal Yisrael, for eternity. No question about it. It didn't necessarily physically bring the success at that point in time. There are times that there's a delayed reaction. Period. Baruch Hashem.